I am from California. Most of you know that. California is known for many things. I won't get into all the what they're known for because we're not proud of all of it. But one of the things it's unfortunately known for is wildfires. Right? How many of you have seen news stories in the last few years of fires that just burn out of control? Well, I read a statistic recently that CAL FIRE, which is one of the organizations that responds to these wildfires when it's something that's beyond just what a local fire department might take care of, CAL FIRE responds to an average of 47 wildfires every year caused by smoking. Think about that. A cigarette, just a little thing. You know, cast out a window, or when you're camping and you leave it on the ground and it doesn't get put out all the way, whatever it is, that 47 a year, that's just from cigarettes. Small little fire. Back in 2003, there was a hunter who was out hunting and he got lost. This is in San Diego County down in Southern California. And he had the genius idea to start a fire so that, you know, maybe somebody would see the smoke. Well, 200,000 burned acres later and 15 people dead, that campfire started by one man burned San Diego County. So you can see how it doesn't take much when it comes to fire to do massive amounts of damage, which I think is why James in the New Testament, one of the apostles, brother of Jesus, James said this. He said, speaking about the tongue, the mouth, the words that we speak, he compares it to a wildfire, compares it to the power that one little flame can have to set apart ablaze an entire forest. So he said, the tongue is a small member, right? I mean, relatively speaking, the tongue's just a small part of us, a little member of our body, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Our words matter. They carry weight. They have an impact. And though it seems like a small thing, they can turn into huge forest fires. And so we need wisdom when it comes to our speech. We need wisdom when it comes to the way that we talk and the things that we say. So we look to the book of Proverbs. We continue this week in our series on wisdom for life. Hopefully wisdom where it hits us where we need it the most in the practical areas of life. The book of Proverbs speaks many times to the wisdom that we need when it comes to our speech. This week I spent some time, I combed through the entire book of Proverbs, and I tried to pull out all of the proverbs that relate to speech, all of the proverbs that relate to talking. And then I grouped them together. You know, it's the ones that kind of seem like they went together and the different themes that came out when it spoke about how wisdom applies to the things that we say. And while there were definitely some outliers and a few different things that maybe didn't fit in any category perfectly, I found four major categories, four major ways that the book of Proverbs speaks about wisdom when it comes to our talk and our speech. And so I want to think of it this morning as four steps that we can take to gain wisdom in our speech. Four steps that we can take to gain wisdom in our speech. That's what I want to do today. I'm going to hit you with a lot of Proverbs. If you're a note taker, I encourage you maybe write down those references so you can go back later and meditate on them. None of them are particularly long. That's one of the things about Proverbs. It's kind of like a string of pearls, a bunch of nuggets of wisdom there strung together. And yet when we group them together, we see that there are these themes. So that's what we're going to look at, and think of it as steps that we can take to gain wisdom in our speech. Before we do that, though, let's pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's help that we might receive this word with gladness. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the word of God, and I thank you for the power of your Spirit, who opens our mind to give us understanding, who opens the eyes of our hearts that we might see your truth and see your beauty, and then respond with love and obedience. This morning, as we meditate on your word, Lord, would you help us to desire the wisdom? Would you help us to pursue it? And then to find practical ways to begin to let our speech reflect your wisdom. And so today especially, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the pastors that I served with at the last church I was at had a saying, and I've shared this saying actually from the pulpit before. I've shared it with the youth group because I really like it. The context in which he shared it was with students, with young adults and high schoolers. But I do believe it's applicable for every age. The saying simply went this way: show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, the people that you spend time with, that you hang out with, and I'll tell you the path and the direction of your life. And I thought, what a truism. I looked at it, it's in Proverbs 32. There isn't a chapter 32. Okay, sorry, that was a joke. But it's good, solid wisdom. And I took it this morning, and as I was thinking on that this week, and how it collides with the Proverbs, I wanted to reshape it just a little bit for the context we're speaking this morning. And I would say this: listen to your friends and you'll hear yourself. The way that they speak, the things that they're talking about, that's going to influence the way you speak and the things that you talk about. And so when we think about steps that we can take to gain wisdom, the first thing that the book of Proverbs tells us is that we should avoid foolish talk and those who spread it. If we want to gain wisdom in our speech, then we need to avoid foolish talk and those who spread it. Proverbs 14:7 says this. It's so easy. It's so plain and simple here. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Leave the presence of a fool. Who are you spending time with? Who do you invite into your life to form close bonds of friendship? Where is most of your time spent? And think about this beyond, too, just face-to-face kinds of interactions. Online, where are you spending your time? What social media are you looking at, and who are you following? And all this stuff, what are you putting in to your mind? And is it wisdom, or is it foolishness? I mean, do you hang around people who gossip? Then it's likely you, too, will become a gossip. Do you hang around people who complain? It's very likely you then will become a complaining person. As you contemplate the different inputs you have, whether it's personal relationships with people or whether it's media that you're taking into your mind, just ask yourself this: does it lift me up or does it bring me down? And I know sometimes we think, well, I need to hang around these people so that I can lift them up. Absolutely. We have a sort of witnessing side of ourselves as Christians. We need to not be afraid to go into relationships that are difficult. But when we think about the people we're letting into our lives and letting have influence over us, we have to be careful to avoid foolish talk and foolishness and those who spread it. I want you to picture an illustration. I've done it actually hands-on with the youth group before. I think it's a helpful one, but I didn't want anybody falling and having any accidents and then suing us. So this morning I'm just going to tell you about it and you can envision it. Take a chair, put it in the center of the room, and I'll put a student on that chair. Then I'll grab another student to stand next to that student. And I'll invite the one who's on the chair, say, okay, without any help from the person on the floor, lift them up onto the chair. That's hard to do. Right? I mean, it's hard to lift a person, especially when they're not helping you, to lift them up onto the chair. But then, when they invariably can't do it, I say, all right, you on the floor, I want you to try and pull down the person on the chair. It's not hard, is it? You can pull somebody down a lot easier than you can pull them up. Think about this principle in our lives. The people we hang around are more likely to pull us down if they're that kind of person than we are to be pulling them up. So we need to use wisdom in who we hang around if we want to have wisdom over our speech. We need to avoid foolish talk and those who spread it. So what is foolish talk? Well, I've given you a couple, but let me just point them out from the Proverbs themselves. One form of foolish talk is gossip. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, and therefore do not associate with the simple babbler. Avoid gossip, avoid incessant talking about other people. I mean, this is, I think, as practical as you can get in thinking about wisdom, is if I'm supposed to avoid foolish talk, one of the things I want to do is not invite gossip into my life. Because otherwise, it then makes me much more likely to be a spreader of that, somebody who is slandering and revealing secrets. But we're told in the scriptures, that person's a babbler, and they have no business speaking into our lives. We need to be careful of surrounding ourselves with foolish talk, with gossip. And another, as I alluded to earlier, but it's right out of Proverbs, is another form of foolish talk is complaining or grumbling. Proverbs 22:10. Drive out a scoffer. And think of that, the scoffer, the one who's always sort of got something negative to say and is complaining and grumbling over things. Drive out a scoffer and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. See, when you're surrounding yourself by the person who's always got something negative to say, then you're inviting strife into your life. You're inviting heartache and pain, and you're inviting conflict and negativity. But if you can avoid those people in a healthy way, to the degree that you can avoid them, then you're going to find yourself walking more lightly. Actually, on the way, it was a great illustration, and it's a true life story somebody shared with me on the way out, so I thought I'd share it with you. He was telling me that he went to, a man in first service, went to visit his 92-year-old mother down in Florida recently. She's 92, and she's in the cafeteria at the assisted living place. There's about 100 people or so, he said, there. And at the table where his mom sits, she's actually the young one. The others are all literally over 100 years old. And he asked his mom, he said, "Mom, how do you live so old? You know, how do you manage to survive so long?" And she said, "You see all those people over there? They're all negative. We don't let that at this table." Think about that. How the impact. I mean, I didn't do the study. I would be positive, though, that there would be a correlation scientifically between the longevity of most of our lives and how much negativity we put into it. The Proverbs certainly tell us, look, if we want to have peace and an end to strife in our own lives, then let's not surround ourselves with those who are negative, those scoffers, the mockers, the complainers, and the grumblers. We need to guard ourselves, avoid. So this all falls under this first step. Let's seek to avoid foolish talk, like gossip and like complaining, just two of many examples, and avoid the people who spread it. That's step one in gaining wisdom over our speech, is avoiding foolish talk and those who spread it. Step number two. This is actually probably the most common sense one, but I would say just because something is quote-unquote common sense doesn't mean it's common. And so the second one is simply this. To gain wisdom in our speech, we need to speak truth and speak truthfully. I say it's common sense because if I were to poll people of any age and say, is lying bad? Everybody would say yes. Now, some of you quibblers out there would probably say, well, there's certain times when it's okay. And I'm saying, you're right, of course. I'm very glad that the family that hid Anne Frank and her family from the Nazis, that they lied to the Nazis. So can there be occasionally these philosophical reasons? Yes, of course. But generally speaking, people acknowledge that lying is wrong, lying is bad. And yet, it's pervasive in big and small ways. We can point fingers and say, like, if you watch a debate or you watch a political talk, they're lying. I don't know any other word for it. You can have a business deal with somebody and you think you agreed on something and they lie. It can be a husband and a wife and they don't, oh, well, where were you this afternoon? And you're embarrassed because you spent money you shouldn't and you lie. Lying is pervasive, but wise speech speaks truth and it speaks truthfully. Does that sound like splitting hairs? I don't think it is. One is to say facts, but the other is to communicate in a way that is truthful. Notice how the Proverbs here, Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." I think that this idea of crooked speech and twisted speech is helpful because most lying is not blatant. Most lying is not simply like, so, did you walk to church this morning? No. Like, I mean, that would be a lie. I walked across the parking lot. But most lying isn't that way. Most lying is half-truth or leaving out important details. Right? When you are on a witness stand, they ask you to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, not just the part that helps you out, and the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so not some kind of mixture. And so this idea of crooked speech is that we need to not just make sure we only speak truth, but that we speak truthfully, and we don't use our words to manipulate or to mislead or to lie to people. Now, most of the time, we do that to protect ourselves or to gain some kind of advantage. But, you know, Proverbs 21:6, sorry, I skipped one, but if you'll go up to Proverbs 21:6, says this: the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. Meaning, you may get some short-term gain in telling a half-truth or leaving out something that's inconvenient to you, and you get something in the short term, but it's fleeting, and what you gain in the long term is pain, hurt, and death. So truthful speech is, in a sense, a matter of life and death. And whatever you think you're gaining from it in the short term, you're losing out in the long term. The step we need to take then in gaining wisdom over our speech is learning to speak what is true and learning to speak truthfully. So wise speech is straightforward, it's open, it's frank, but, and this is an important caveat, without being cruel, hurtful, or crass. And we're going to say a little bit more about that, but we've all known that person who says, just telling it like it is, or I just say what's the truth, and they do it like a hammer to try and beat you down with. So part of wisdom is learning to speak the truth, and as we'll see in a moment, though, also learning to speak it in a way that is helpful, not harmful. But it must start with that we need to speak truth, and we need to speak the whole truth in a way that doesn't manipulate or seek to gain advantage for ourselves. So that's the second aspect here of wisdom, is speaking what is true and speaking truthfully. The third step. A third step in gaining wisdom in our speech is to be thoughtful with our words. Again, is that common sense? Of course it is. And yet, how lacking is this common sense? We need to be thoughtful about the things that we say. Proverbs 10:19 says this: when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Think about that first thing. When words are many, the more you say, the more likely you are to speak foolishness, say something hurtful, say something you wish you could take back. Too much talking leads to trouble, so learning to zip it shows wisdom. Humorous examples of this can be found all the time with sports figures. Because, you know, I don't envy them. They get microphones shoved in their face all the time, and they have to say something, and they're asked these dumb questions a lot of times. Or sportscasters, they're talking throughout an entire game, and so they're bound to say something dumb. But I collected just a few treasures for you this morning of how when you speak too much, you start to say stupid things. Some of you are familiar with Terrell Owens. He was a football player who loved to speak and talk. And it was always about Terrell. This is one small example that probably many could be listed. But he said this one time: don't say I don't get along with my teammates. I just don't get along with some of the guys on my team. Hello, McFly. Yeah, it's the same thing. Joe Theismann, the quarterback who had his leg snapped by Lawrence Taylor, he once said this: the word genius isn't applicable in football. A genius is a guy like Norman Einstein. Very applicable for Joe, I guess, there, right? Yogi Berra is good for a lot of these. Here's one of my favorites: 90% of this game is half mental. Do the math, folks. It doesn't add up. A couple more. This one, I hadn't heard of this guy before, but I loved the quote. It was an English football coach, and he was talking about the opponent that almost beat them, and he said, "We didn't underestimate them. They were a lot better than we thought." And then the last one, Greg Norman, he's a golfer, and he said this, I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father. Right? I mean, not sure of any other parents you might have, but yes. And those are all silly examples, in a sense, nothing really like truly devious or bad, but it just shows the more you have to speak, the more you're talking all the time, the more verbose you are, the more likely you are to then begin to cross lines or to hurt people's feelings or to say things that are hurtful and not helpful, that are foolishness rather than wisdom. And so when we think about this third step, which is that we need to think about the things that we say, well, here's a few different ways we can do it. First of all, wisdom is knowing when to speak and when to remain silent. Proverbs 17:28, one of my favorites. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Think about that. If the less you say, the smarter you look. That's biblical wisdom. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back. You know where I felt like this probably applies almost more than anywhere in our culture today is online, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or somewhere else. The fool gives full vent to everything in their spirit. Comes to your mind, and you type it. And then the whole world, or at least all of your followers, see it. And then, yeah, you can take it down later, but somebody took a screenshot of it. And it's already being spread around. It's foolish to put out there for everyone and anyone everything that you're doing and everything that comes to your mind. All you're doing is increasing the likelihood that you're going to say something hurtful or foolish to others. And so a wise person thinks before they speak. A wise person holds it back quietly. Another way that we can think before we speak, or another way that we can take that step of wisdom is to simply think about the things we're about to say. Think before we speak. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. You hear that? The heart of the righteous person, the wise person, ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. It just comes flowing out of that mouth, but the wise person, the righteous person, thinks about how to respond. Thinks about what the right answer or the right word in a situation or a moment is. So let's be slower to speak and let's think about the things that we say. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You know, no one likes to be around that person who feels like they have to tell you how they feel about everything, right? It's like they have an opinion about any topic or any situation, no matter what it is. And all I can say is, don't be that guy, right? Let's not be that person that always, instead of seeking understanding, just has an opinion about everything and then has to share it with everybody around, whether they want to hear it or not. Another way that we can be thoughtful in our speech and therefore help gain wisdom is by letting gossip die with us. See, when we let gossip stop with us, that is an act of wisdom. Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Think about that. I've already mentioned step one in gaining wisdom in your speech is avoid foolish people and foolish talk. But none of us can escape everybody. Maybe you live with them. Maybe you work with them. But when it comes to you and it's gossip or it's not helpful in any way, when you just let it die, it dies. The chance of it then, you know, perpetuating into that forest fire from that small little flame, it ends with you. And so it's an act of wisdom to let gossip stop with you. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. I shared this with the youth group a while back, and I have a feeling, I think, from their responses, I think they didn't fully get it at first. And I understand, because when they heard whoever covers an offense, the thought was, you mean like helping somebody do something bad? No, that's not what it means to say here, to cover an offense is not to stay quiet about something that's bad or wrong. What it means is when somebody says something to you, you just bury it, it just dies there.
you don't have to repeat it. Or if it's about somebody else, you just, you know, they've done something wrong. What good, what value is there in you going and going, did you hear what so-and-so said? Oh, you wouldn't believe how they were talking about you. But if you cover that offense, it dies with you. But when you speak it, it kills relationships. So wisdom is learning when to be quiet, including when gossip comes our way. Last thing under this third step about being thoughtful is that being unguarded in our words can lead to pain and heartache. Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. I like that one because you think, oh man, you are going to get it. And that's what he's saying here, is that a fool says things that invites pain and heartache. And then a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Our words get us in trouble, right, guys? You ever said something to your wife and then went, ooh. The fool speaking gets himself into trouble. So a lot of times wisdom is simply knowing to keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. You ever talked yourself into trouble by talking too much? Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So wisdom is being thoughtful in the things we say, and one of the ways we do that is knowing when not to say anything, and another is just being thoughtful in the words that come out of our mouths. Our fourth step to gaining wisdom in our speech is to use our words to help and not to harm. To use our words to help and not to harm. You've heard this, probably even said it yourself as a kid. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, if only that were true. But we all know it's not true, because words have power. Words can bring tremendous hurt, but words can also bring life and wisdom and healing. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Have you experienced that? Where it's just like the words somebody says stab like a knife into your heart, like a sword thrust. Have you thrust the sword? So think of the power of your words, but then listen to the flip side. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise is the one that brings this restoration and brings words that have a healing effect and an impact on a person or on a situation. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Think of that. Your mouth has the power to be a fountain of life for others around you. To bring to them words of healing and energizing and encouragement, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And with it, in that sense, comes hurt and heartache. Which do you want your mouth to be speaking? Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness, and this is not just like sexual perverseness, this just means any of that crooked, wicked talk, perverseness breaks the spirit. And you know, that actually made me think of Ephesians. When Paul is giving advice isn't even the right word, commands, to parents, and he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. It's like we can break the spirit of those around us, whether it be our kids or our spouse or a coworker. We need to be careful because the words that we speak can harm, but instead we can also speak words that bring life and healing and affirmation and build up those around us. In fact, there are countless commands in the New Testament that we are to be building one another up. And you know how we do that? One of the key ways, we speak to them. We speak the word of God. We speak life to them, encouragement. So our words can either help or they can harm. They can spark trouble or they can calm situations, right? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You ever had somebody attack you? And when you attack back, does it calm the situation? No, it doesn't. It's like gasoline. But, and this is not always true, I'll say a word about that in a moment, but generally speaking, when somebody attacks you, when you can reply with a calmness and a gentleness, it often diffuses the situation and takes the tension right out of the room or the conversation. Now, I say sometimes because almost all of the Proverbs have this element to them where they're generally true. You can find exceptions to them, of course. Just like I gave you the exception about lying. We're supposed to speak truth, but is there ever an occasion when we shouldn't speak only and always truth? And there was that moral example there of maybe hiding somebody from death. So generally speaking, these are true things. I don't want to make you think that every time you speak a gentle word, it means the other person's not going to keep attacking you. But more often than not, as demonstrated by it being in God's word, a soft answer is what will bring calm. A gentleness in response to harshness is what will alleviate the tension and the difficulty. And so our speech can help even just to bring a calm. And then our words can help our cause or harm ourselves. Think about that. You have a lot of power to either make your situation better or worse. Proverbs 12:13 says, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. So he gets himself into trouble by the things he says. He hurts his cause. Or it says, but the righteous escapes from trouble. A lot of times, the best way that we can, in a sense, get out of a bad situation is when we will speak with wisdom. Or as I said earlier, maybe even just say nothing at all. And so we have this power. What you say can get you in hot water or it can deliver you. And so you and I need to ask ourselves this question. Do our words help or do they harm? I mean, have you even thought about that? Maybe when you're going to post something online, have you thought about, what impact is this going to have on the other people? When you've gone in to have a conversation with your loved one, have you thought about the impact your words will have beyond whatever sort of short-term selfish thing you might gain from it? What impact is that going to have on them? We need to be asking ourselves, do our words help or do they harm? And I want to, in a sense, take this even beyond, because the Proverbs, as I'll read you one final proverb here, takes us beyond simply personal relationships, but also recognizing the power of our words to help in situations where there's injustice or unrighteousness or wrongdoing. Proverbs 31, the second part of it, many of you know, especially a lot of you ladies, because it's all about the Proverbs 31 woman. But before it gets to the Proverbs 31 woman, it is a mother speaking to her son, who is king, giving him advice. And she says this to her son, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. In other words, use your words for good. Use your words to help those who can't speak for themselves. Use your words to bring a righteousness into a situation. We should use our words for justice and for helping people, especially the defenseless. So our four steps to gaining wisdom in our speech. We need to avoid foolish talk and those who spread it. We need to speak truth and speak truthfully. We need to be thoughtful with our words. And finally, we need to use our words to help and not harm. And one of the greatest things that we can use our speech for is to point people to the source of wisdom and the source of life. Thinking back to the proverb when it talks about the mouth that can be a fountain of life, it will be a mouth that is pointing people to, with the words we say, pointing people to Jesus Christ. See, God calls us to be witnesses for him, which means he calls us to use our words to point people to Jesus, the source of eternal life and forgiveness. The Apostle Paul understood this, and so he incorporated a team of people to pray for him so that he could speak these words of wisdom and life. In Colossians chapter 4, as he's winding up his letter to the church there, he writes this. He says, at the same time, pray also for us, talking about Paul himself and his missionary team, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word, for the ability, the opportunity to speak God's word, to point people to Jesus Christ. And he says, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, And he's asking for prayer that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Our words should be used to point people to Jesus Christ. So let's be wise in the things we say. Let's avoid the foolishness that is out there everywhere. And I tell you what, this preaching is hard. You know why? Not because preparing a sermon, God's gifted me that I can do that okay. It's hard because you beat yourself up every week. Because you're like, wow, I need this. When I'm talking about foolish speech, I'm feeling like conviction from the Spirit. Like, how many times, because my words are many, transgression is not lacking. I understand. It's hard to gain wisdom over our speech. But let's begin by avoiding what we know is foolish. And then let's be thoughtful about our words. And let's use them for helping people, not harming people. Let's not be gossips. Let's not be complaining, but instead, let us be the encouragers. And let us be the witnesses for Jesus Christ. And then we will have wise speech that brings glory to our Heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads. Father, your word does convict. And this morning I pray that we don't think of 10 other people who need this word, but we inspect our own hearts where we need to gain wisdom over our speech. Lord, I pray, though, because I know in my own flesh, I will never gain the wisdom that I need. So I ask for the help from your Holy Spirit for myself and for this church, that we would use our words to help, not to harm, to speak words of life, not words of death, that we might be known to be a wise church and not a foolish church, and that we might learn when to just be quiet and when to speak your truth. May you help us to do this, and may you get the glory in what comes out of our mouth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.